Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, BT, let's try to get back on track here a little bit. Of course, Mets, Braves, huge series tonight. The weather is going to have an impact on that series, whether we like it or not. Just a matter of if it's going to be a doubleheader on Wednesday or if they're going to move the game maybe to Monday, see what happens here. But tonight, an important game for the Mets to try to get, a win to before the rain starts to play or the weather starts to wreak havoc in that series. Two things here. One, it's either I'm going to either hit you with a Jets note or a Mets note that I think could be interesting conversation for
go
us.
Go Mets.
Okay.
Go Mets. The Mets.
Okay. I was just sent this text. Something that we talked about earlier in the show. I don't know where this comes from. Somebody on Twitter. Some dude, two-seam fastball on Twitter. But people that are
a two-seamer. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you know the difference between a two-seam and a four-seam?
Isn't it just how, where your fingers are crossed?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
He's testing me here.
Just checking,
all right,
man.
So I'm going to give you some numbers here.
Okay.
Two Mets players. Mets careers. 423 at-bats for one, 424 at-bats for another.
Ooh.
One hit two is hitting 234, 318, 407 slash line with 16 homers. The other 241, 359, 415, 19 homers.
Okay.
Any idea to take a guess at the comparison of these two players?
In their career or for the season?
For their Mets career.
All right, well, it's not Vientos because his home runs are in the 20s. That last one was 19. It's not Alvarez because he had 20-something last year.
One current Met, one former Met.
Oh, one current Met.
The
okay.
current Met is 234, 318, 407, 16 homers.
Does Nimmo have 16 home runs?
What's he? He's
got more
sure,
than that, I think.
Nimmo.
It's not Nimmo. It's not Bader.
By the way, when you talk about the Nimmo comments, I mean, these numbers are not pretty either way, but.
It's not Marte. It's not Lindor. It's not Alvarez. It's not. Might be J.D. Martinez.
It is J.D. Martinez.
All right, so it's J.D., he's the current.
423 at-bats. He's hitting 234, yeah. 318, 407 slash line with 16 homers.
Yeah, 50-something or 60 RBIs. All right, so that's J.D., gotcha.
Right. And overall, what do you think the perception has been of J.D. Martinez?
I think it's been optimistic, and I think it should be.
Is there anybody that has called this station once since J.D. Martinez has become a Met and said anything negative?
No. Honestly, right. I can say that emphatically, no.
Right.
Met fans were pining for management to sign him when he was sitting out there. They threw you a bone. We didn't really know where he was physically. There was a slight interruption down in Port St. Lucie. Got up here. Took a while to get going. Had some influence early on the season. Met fans appreciated that. And then I think they've just kind of ridden out this prolonged cold streak, understanding that he's just not the same player, but other guys have picked up the slack, and you're not depending on him on a nightly basis to win.
Correct. And until today, I mean, I can't speak for every other show and literally every caller.
I haven't taken one.
Yeah, we have not taken one. And until today where I said, take him out of the lineup, figure it out. Like, I don't think there's been anything negative.
That doesn't mean
another host didn't say to bench him a week ago or whatever. But anyway, so the other player, 241, which is higher.
He's a former Met.
Yeah. 241, higher average, 359, 415. So a higher slash overall. Three more home runs.
Don't say this is Vogelback. Did I nail it? It's Vogelback. All right.
Now,
it's your boy Epler's big boom acquisition.
Point is that we, myself included, everybody ripped Vogelback to shreds. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. But J.D. Martinez numbers have been worse, not a lot worse, but worse than Vogelback in his Met career. And I remember Vogelback did it in a season and a half.
Yep, came over with Darren Ruff.
But the same amount of at-bats is why it's kind of relevant by that tweeter out there. But neither of them play a position.
It's interesting.
Neither of them can run.
Yeah.
But one gets visceral, and the other's like, hey, J.D. Martinez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one's going to get the benefit of the doubt, and this is not fair, and it shouldn't be this way, but optically, I think some people, if not a lot of people, attribute, Vogelback's deficiencies here is to not being in shape. I just think that that's part of the part of the deal.
It might be. I also
said, it might not be fair, but I guarantee that that's part of it.
I don't think J.D. Martinez is in particularly good shape either.
I don't think so either, but he doesn't look like that. And I'm not fat shaming. That's not my thing at all. But, Vogelback could barely run. You know, not that Martinez's sprint speed is anything to rave about either, but just now, he didn't look like a professional baseball player.
Now, to me, well, was that Huff?
Part of it, too, was because Vogelbach legitimately didn't swing the bat.
That is a good point. Vogelbach did it.
Yeah.
He's the only baseball player in Major League history to not use a glove or a bat.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
He walked up there with the bat and kept it on his shoulder. Yeah, he doesn't use a glove. But point is, I think it should speak to me that tweet or those stat comparisons should speak to, one, how important J.D. Martinez has been in the clubhouse, and number two, that maybe it's time to sit his rear end.
All right, well, I'm going to do something with you. We haven't done this yet here. It's a little spontaneous, spur-of-the-moment stuff. I've done it with the Yankees. Give me your assuming health for Lindor. Give me your optimal Mets lineup 1-9.
Assuming health for Lindor.
I am bestowing, the ultimate,
Lindor,
I am bestowing
leading
the ultimate
off at
power
short.
Upon you. Lindor, one, shortstop, number two.
I actually want to think about this for a sec because if I'm going to have Acuna in there, now do I want to put him in the two-hole? I'll tell you this. It's going to be without J.D. Martinez, and it is going to be with Acuna.
So okay, so we're there already.
And it's going to be Bader there. So now who hits second? Do I like Vientos there? I'm probably going to go Vientos there myself.
Going to keep him at third, or are you going to mix around with some DH third base, Iglesias? These are things we talked about before.
Great question. I'm going to go Vientos at DH.
Okay. Now, again, if you missed it, and Keith was with Boomer and Gio this morning, Keith Hernandez, a pretty good soundbite, which we played for you earlier, and he's basically said, listen, Iglesias is the best second baseman I've ever seen defensively, so he's not in a rush to move him. I would not move him necessarily either, although moving Vientos to DH and sitting down Martinez and putting Iglesias to third and possibly Acuna at second is something that I'm interested in. So, Vientos is your DH. Who's hitting third? What do we got?
Nimmo, left field, third.
All right.
Alonso, fourth, first base.
Big PD, first base, five.
I'm going to go Winker in right field. Dude, there was a play. I don't know if you guys were back at the seats when we were there Friday night. Yeah, you were still walking around. There was a play. You might have been there. I was yelling at Marte. He didn't get the ball in. There was a base hit.
Did we see this play? I forgot.
We were there for that.
You remember me yelling at him?
Yeah. Well, it looked like he was trying to deke the runner, but then he just
get
hit the
ball in. Wake up! Throw the ball in. We were right there in right field.
So because
right
of that, you're gonna sit down, Marte?
Yeah, dude. I don't like his attitude.
Winker's got good energy.
And now, if it's against a lefty, different.
I gotcha.
If it's against a lefty, I'm going Marte. But I want Winker in it. I like
his
energy.
I'm assuming a righty here. Okay. Winker five, right field six.
So where am
Alvarez?
I at here?
You've been hitting.
Yeah, I'll go Alvarez six.
All right.
Is that where we're at six? One, two, three, four, five, six.
Alvarez,
he has been hitting.
And
you like that pop there?
Let me reset this as you're thinking. Lindor one, shortstop. This is Sal. This is Sal's optimal Mets lineup. Lindor. First shortstop, Vientos, DH second, Nimmo batting third and left. We got Big Pete at first base batting fourth, Winker and right fifth. We've got Alvarez behind the plate sixth.
Man, I'm going to go, I'll go Iglesias behind him at third.
Iglesias.
I'll go Acuna behind him at second.
Acuna.
And I'll go Bader nine in center field.
Okay. Now.
That's my lineup.
All right,
and I feel pretty good about that. So no J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
I'm moving Iglesias to third, Acuna at second, and I have Bader in there, et cetera. And I have Winker and or Marte in right. But in this particular case, because Marte pissed me off the other night and because I'm assuming a righty, I'm going to go Winker in right field.
It's an interesting lineup. I don't vehemently disagree with anything.
Would you alter 2-3?
Well, I'm looking at the order. The names fit me, although I might be coerced into a little Marte action more so than Winker. Maybe. Lindor's a lock at first. Again, this is all under the pretense that he's healthy.
Would you keep Iglesias at the top of the order is the big part. Like, I would not with Lindor lead off. I'll move Iglesias down.
You know, I got to be honest with you. There is appeal to me to go Lindor 1, Iglesias 2.
Yeah. Who would you go third then?
Third, I might go Vientos.
Right.
And then Pete.
Right.
And then just slide
Nimmo
5, Alvarez 6, bump Acuna up to 7.
Ooh, Marte, Winker, late.
There's a couple of... Let me ask you this. I know what you prefer. Do you think the Mets are going to go with Winker or Marte?
I do think it's going to depend on the matchup.
Okay. Do you think that they're at least considering truly benching Martinez, having Vientos DH, and putting Iglesias at third and Acuna at second?
I think if they're not, they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Now, I know they're riding it out here, but, I mean, you get down to it. I was going to say you get in the postseason, it's going to be a different story, but really these final six games,
yep,
all due respect to J.D. Martinez, and I know one swing of the bat, he could change the game. Dude, he's been horrible. He's been horrible. You just can't justify. Like, at least Acuña being in there. Now, you move Vientos to DH, fine, but Acuña could help you on the bases with his speed.
No question.
He could help you defensively. J.D. Martinez, all right, so good. So you move Vientos off of third. He's been good there. It's not a knock on Vientos.
But been fine, yeah.
You get better defense if you move Iglesias to third and have Acuña at second and Vientos be the DH. You're upgrading DH, and you're upgrading the defense at third base. Like, it's a better lineup.
Did he break that? He's still hitless, right? That hitless streak is still going?
I believe so, yeah.
What is it, about 0 for 33
now? He's been
now?
Stuck on 69 ribbies for months, it feels like.
I mean, I just got to look at his splits real quick. I mean, I know he's been, he looks finished, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to disrespect him.
And he's been here a before, really good pro. Where he's looked finished before with other teams. That's with true. Boston a couple years ago, when in fact the Mets didn't want to trade for him. Dude, they traded for Vogelback instead.
He's hitting 068 in September.
He's been brutal.
His OPS is 271.
What was the last time he hit a home run or drove in a run?
The last home run that he hit was in August.
He hasn't hit a home run since August?
Yeah. Not August in September. What? I can go through his game log here. Let's see. Game log here.
August 30th. Okay, so end of August.
So basically the end of the month.
Is that the last time he drove in a run, too, for goodness sake?
It seems like it. What do you got there, Hoppy?
September 9th, he said, yeah.
September 9th. I'm going to present something else that you turned down earlier that I actually am a lot more interested than you. Now, even though Martinez has been really, really reeling, I'm still at the right matchup, a lefty, whatever. I wouldn't have an issue with him pinch hitting late, high leverage spot. Give me a quality at bat. Now, maybe it's not ideal, but if the Mets are of the mindset that he could give them multiple quality at bats over the course of a game and they want him to DH, I would honestly think about sitting down Bader, and I would play Acuña in center field.
Okay.
He can play center field, dude.
So then what? So then let's say you have Acuña in center. Just to change it from my line. So you're taking Bader out. That frees up. You're keeping Vientos at third.
Now I get Vientos' stick. Martinez's stick, even though it's been very quiet lately. Oh, yeah.
Because you could go Winker and Marte.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like, you could do that as well.
You could do that, too. So basically, in your scenario, you have Vientos at third, Acuña in center, so no Bader.
I don't mind sitting Bader.
That frees up Marte, Winker, who's the third one that we were just saying? Martinez.
Martinez.
Marte, Winker, and J.D. Martinez, two of those three bats in the lineup.
Yeah. I don't have an issue with sitting down Bader. I know he was clutch in 2022 with the Yankees. I get it.
He's a great defensive center fielder.
I know he's a great defensive outfielder. Acuña's a good enough outfielder who's electric and dynamic and impact. Now, Bader can swipe a bag. He can obviously hit one deep when he connects. Yeah. He's a good outfielder. He plays with great energy. I'm not saying that I have to bench him, but if Acuña, it's a little unconventional, but if you're going to do it, get him out in center field this series or in Milwaukee.
Yeah, right. You don't want to just do a game one of the postseason of the wild card series. You know what's good? Mets have some depth here, and they have some options. Now, is it the sexiest of options? No, but hey, Martinez struggling? See ya.
Yep.
Or, Winker, you don't want to get him in there, bad matchup? Okay, we'll be fine. Bader struggling? Okay, we can move Acuña to center field.
Sal, not every world's champion has names. Even the Yankees, like Luis Soho played a decent role. Mariano Duncan played a decent role.
I like their depth and versatility.
You know what I mean? Like Andy Fox would get, pinch run here and there, little versatility. Like, yeah, it sounds great when you have nine All-Stars, but like this Mets team, and this is why you really have to go back to Mendoza. He's pushed the buttons properly for a while, and their roster's been fluid. It's changed quite a bit. Winker wasn't here the whole season. Vientos was not here the whole season. Pete's been a mess. Alvarez was hurt. Iglesias was not here the whole season. Acuña just came up. Like, he's done a really good job. Really, I mean, he's done a great job.
Now go get great a series job. Win starting tonight in Atlanta. We'll come back. We'll take your calls, BT and Sal, on the Fan. You know, a lot of Mets and Braves going over the lineup, but a big series tonight. Let's get to the calls here. Phil is in Shirley, New York. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, boys? So pumped for tonight's game. I can't wait. And I hate to question Mindy because I feel like he's been amazing this year. But I love moving Severino up. But why are we not pitching Quintana in this series? Why are we going Peterson game two over Quintana? And my question to you guys, if we're in the playoffs right now and, we got to set up our three-man rotation, obviously we're probably all going Manaea game one. We'll all go in Seve game two. Who are you going game three if it makes it that? Like, I'm going Quintana. Who are you guys going?
I love the question, Phil.
It's a very good question. A week ago, I would have said without any hesitation, and I did say, Peterson, give me a little pause.
And then we saw him Friday night.
In person.
Yeah.
Gave me more pause. Yasenga's gone. You know, Quintana, I get that.
And, Tyler McGill.
I mean, Quintana's throwing the ball well. He is.
Here's what I would say to answer the first part of the question, because they did line it up this way where Peterson's going to pitch in this series. And by the way, who the hell knows now with the rain?
Like, I know.
I don't know how it's going to impact the Mets and their rotation plans, because Manaea was supposed to pitch the final game of this series. So they can potentially play all three games without Manaea pitching unless they move him up, which would totally screw the Mets. I don't like the idea of Peterson over Quintana, but I trust the Mets. The last time I questioned the moves that they made to set up the rotation was against the Yankees.
I remember that.
And it worked perfectly.
It worked out well
so
for you guys.
So I'm going to trust that for whatever reason they want Peterson instead of Quintana, I'm going to trust Stearns and Mendoza.
I like it. A little faith in the guidance.
I wouldn't do it, but I trust them.
There you go.
Postseason, 100% Manaea, 100% Severino. I just trust the vet in Quintana. And I also I trust Tyler McGill right now more than I do even Peterson. McGill's throwing, he's been nasty.
He's giving me pause a little bit.
Either way, they're not great options. But
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have to pick one of them to start a game 3, and then you have to pick another to start a game 4.
I know.
Eventually, if you move on. Mike is in South Boundbrook. What's up, Mike?
Guys, what's going on, man?
Mike.
Love your show. Awesome.
Thanks,
thank you.
Man. Thank you.
Hey, and you know, if you're not excited about this Mets team, you might not have a pulse. That's all I got to say about that. As far as, you know, Pete, you know, I think Pete, maybe he's going to do maybe his best little Danny Murphy impression in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying, man? So I'm looking forward to that. And I think that could happen.
Well, first, you know, I got to get there. What would give you...
I know. But let's face it, they're getting there. If they don't get there, I mean, come on. You know, it's going to happen. I'm saying it. You heard it here.
If they don't get there this year... Oh, boy.
This would go... If they don't get there, it's right up there with 2007. I think worse than 2008, as bad as that was.
It's got to jump to the top of the pile.
Yeah, this would be a disaster. If they somehow didn't get there, it would be disastrous. It would go from one of the great years, potentially, in the franchise history to disaster. Like, they have to get there.
I just don't feel like that's in their cards. I don't.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Right, me neither. Like, in my gut, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I don't think I felt it in 2007 either.
Yeah, well, I get it.
What I will say, though, about Pete is it's the same thing. There are now 6 games left in the regular season.
Boy, we're stretching this one out, huh?
I mean,
19 games to go, 12 games to go,
11 games to go. Yeah, this 6 games. Like, we've had this conversation how many bleeping times since April about Pete Alonso having a season or getting going or turning it around, and it just hasn't happened. Matter of fact, it's gotten worse. So why now? Now, the good news is that those 6 games, the remaining games left, are the most important games. So if he does get hot in Atlanta and in the postseason, all will be forgotten. But I have no reason to believe that he is all of a sudden going to get hot because he hasn't done it yet.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Sal. The time frame has changed a lot. It's dwindled. You know, it's gone from, all right, a slow start, a little sluggish, to, all right, this thing's morphing into, you know, a little bit of an issue contractually, to this is really the worst all-around season Pete's had as a pro. You know, taking away the 2020 condensed season.
Yeah.
So the timeline's changed because we're running out of games here, but the premise is not. Like, there's still a window for him to at least change perception. And I don't know that he's going to either. I thought when he hit the home run, even though it was a little meaningless, remember we talked about that, and then he hit one in the first inning, and I was joking around with you, Sal, was that early enough? I think they scored two runs that inning against the Nationals when they scored 10 runs in a row, three straight games. I thought that was it, and it just it didn't really happen. They start striking out a lot again.
Good God, the crowd on their feet chanting Pete Alonso. He's 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, it was an ugly finish here. But if he does it, all will be forgotten.
Right. I don't know if all will be forgotten, but I remember the only thing I have to equate it to was Murphy. And I remember not being a huge fan of Daniel Murphy with legit reason. He couldn't run. He was a bad defensive player.
Yeah.
Prior to him going nuts in October, he did not hit with power. He was a good hitter.
I love Murphy.
There was one at-bat. You wanted him up there because you trusted he would give you a good at-bat.
Yeah.
Put the bat on the ball, go opposite field, find a hole, find a gap.
Always liked
him. But he was one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time...
Kind of like McNeil.
Well...
When McNeil was going well.
Fair enough. And the Mets, for a long time, were so lean that Murphy was...
Yeah.
Like the guy that they kept shoving down our throats. I know Wright, but then Wright was hurt, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And then just when they were about to finally get rid of him, he goes on an all-time postseason run. And that won me over. And you think, well, if he can hit with power, now you can live with his defensive deficiencies or the fact that he can't run. Like, as long as he hits with that power. And, of course, he did beyond the Mets. So if Pete goes nuts in Atlanta and again in the postseason, I do think it would... make me at least think, you know what? He proved himself in the biggest spots. I'm all for bringing him back. With a, you know, I'm not going to go nuts as far as paying him.
With a contract, yeah. The difference, though, with Murphy is that the track record for Pete is just much more pronounced. I mean, he's an all-time power hitter based on the numbers.
Murph did something different than he normally did.
Correct, which is why, well, it was such a deviation from who he was. You didn't know if it was real.
They didn't, yeah.
And it really wasn't.
Right.
Whereas with Pete...
No, but after the Mets, he went on and had MVP.
No, I know, but it's not... Yeah, I understand. He definitely changed his approach and he started hitting more home runs. But I think that, you know, if Pete were to really have a serious run here... Final six games, going to nice heater for a couple of weeks in October. Now, again, 7-8 years, that ship has sailed no matter what, based on, his position, his age, all the things we've discussed all year. But he's done so much good here that it's not like, well, who is this guy? If anything, it would be like, oh, this was Pete. This is who we used to be.
But he just hasn't done it in the clutch. We know he can hit home runs. We haven't seen him carry the team in big spots yet. That's what I think Met fans want to see. And maybe that could change how fans feel about bringing him back. All right, a limited number of additional seats have just been released for Odyssey's 11th annual We Can Survive to Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey on September 28, 2024. Performance by Justin Timberlake, New Kids on the Block, Tate McRae, Benson Boone, Khalid, and Isabel La Rosa. Buy tickets now before they sell out. Head to Ticketmaster.com today. When we come back, I got a little Jets note that I want to give to BT. And also, we'll finish with your calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Usually, BT, we have Jermaine Illuminor in this spot. He can't do it today because the Giants are playing on Thursday, so we'll try to connect with him during the week. But in his place, I don't know, maybe a little bit of an upgrade. Mercedes Monet joining us here once again on BT and Sal. How are you, Mercedes?
I'm good. I think this is the biggest upgrade. So, yes, the CEO is here. Please say hello to your CEO.
Coming in humble as always, I say. Right. Nice and shy.
How challenging is your schedule on your marriage?
Well, if you haven't seen the news, I got divorced.
We are now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Craig said, make sure when you talk to Baldy, you tell him that he was never able to beat me at ping pong or tennis, so I wanted to bring it up to you.
We had battles. We had our battles back in the day when he was here in Philadelphia. He won some, but I know I've got some. I know I've taken some money from him. Let me just say that. We were playing for matchsticks back then, and pennies, so it wasn't anything big.
Yeah, I mean, in Craig's mind, he's never lost at anything. Was this after he retired from the Phillies minor league team or right before as a third baseman?
There you have it. Calls of the day today. Check anything out that you might have missed on the free Odyssey app. It was fun to have Mercedes again in studio. Fun to reminisce with Craigie a little bit. And then, of course,
she loves coming out with us.
I think so. I think we have fun.
She's cool. Yeah. And Craig's always good to us. And I think he enjoys hanging with us as well.
I did feel like an idiot because honestly, what happened was after last time we had her in, I was like, you know what? I didn't do the proper prep. Like, I'm just not into the wrestling stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, it could have been a better interview. I thought it was fine, but it could have been better. So I went back and then started doing some homework. So I had all these questions ready for the next time she came in. It was only a few months ago. I asked her last time, oh, how's your marriage? I know you're married to a seamstress at WWE, whatever. She's like, oh, all's good. Like, a couple months later, I didn't think that she, I had no idea.
Well, I was laughing at myself because, you know, I don't know that this was necessarily your intention because I know you well enough. I don't think it was, but you're like, yeah, I was doing my research. Like, yeah, look at Sal flexing on that research. And then you ask a question that all you have to do is Google her name, and it's probably the first thing that pops up.
I know.
Divorced.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I'm not Googling her name. I do follow her on Instagram.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like the research, whatever research you did.
I would have known.
That was funny.
Oh, God, I felt bad, but she was cool with it.
She was cool. She ran with it well. She handled it well.
All right, so before we finish up with the calls here, 888-808-1019, I want to play you a little something.
I got a back.
You all right?
Ooh. Spasm right now.
You need an epidural or something? My back has been hurting me, too.
Jeez.
All right. So there was something that I came across on social media during the show that I thought you might find interesting.
Okay.
Hoff was able to go back and find the sound. This is Bill Belichick on Pat McAfee yesterday discussing Sam Darnold.
You know, but I'll say this. Everybody has liked Darnold except the Jets. You know, the people in Carolina that I talked to, they really liked him. He was, you know, at the Rams and not for very long. They liked him. I think they want to re-sign him. You know, he was looking for more of an opportunity than to play behind Stafford. And then, you know, I know that Kevin and some of the coaches in Minnesota, they really like this guy, too. So it seemed like the only people that didn't like Darnold were at the Jets.
The ones who used a premium pick, third overall.
How about that from BB?
He can't stop. It's the low-hanging fruit. He gets a chance to jab us. That's fine. And, you know, it's not that the Jets didn't like him. It's that the Jets didn't know how to properly insulate him and unlock him. Because they had a bunch of dopes running the show like they usually do.
But not only that, you're right. That's what they did first. Then they chose Zach Wilson over him.
Yeah. You know, Darnold, I always thought he got a bit of a bum rap. You know, I really did. Like, you look at some of his numbers. His first year was pretty good. I remember going, now Buffalo, I don't think was very good this year, but I remember him going up to Buffalo, it's on YouTube, and having this wild scramble, like it must have been like 6 degrees. I could still see like the frozen carpet up there in Buffalo. Just really showing some scramble ability and then throwing a dime like across his body in the back of the end zone. I'm like, here we go. Like year one of Sammy, I was pretty pumped up. And I remember he trucked, maybe it was a Denver Bronco on like Thursday Night Football. He just ran over some safety or a linebacker. Like Darnold, to me, as much as I defended Zach, Darnold, we weren't working together.
Yeah.
Darnold actually showed more flashes that got me more excited than Zach did.
The right way
he played better.
The right way to do it, if you believed in him. Now, it was a mess. Different general manager, different head coach. But if you fully believed in his talent, you would say, let's build around him, hire the right coach to get the most out of him. But my counter to Bill would have been, yeah, Bill, that sounds great, and I know you're picking on the Jets, but you were at the game where he was seeing ghosts. Like, that wasn't made up. We saw it. I mean, Sam Darnold, I'm seeing ghosts out there. He soiled himself against the Belichick defense, but yet everybody likes Sam Darnold. And if he were that good, how come Carolina didn't keep him? Look where they're at now. They're going with the red rifle with Andy Dalton. If he would have stuck with the Rams. Why, you know, why all of a sudden? By the way, he didn't even get the starting job with the Vikings.
He's picking. Listen. And by the way, Belichick could have brought him to the Pats if he liked him that much.
Right, you chose Mac Jones.
A few others too, right? I mean, listen, the thing about the ghost, oh God, the ghost game, I really thought that was wildly overstated. Like, the way it was interpreted, like, the butt fumble was one optic. That was just, you know, comical looking, you know, Dopey Sanchez.
I always thought that was overplayed. It was a stupid play.
Big ass and just ricocheting his head backwards. Like, it was just, that was... I mean, that was the cherry on top of the circus. But the Darnold stuff, and I remember watching it real well. Like, to me, it's like, remember the scene in Rocky when he's in the corner? Hey, I see three of them. Yeah. Hit the one in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even you can be a finely, not that Rocky's real, he's fictitious, made-up character, but you can be a finely tuned athlete and in the moment be a little confused. Like, people took that as an ultimate sign of weakness and lack of clarity and the inability to process, where I just think he's just like, man, I'm playing like ass. I'm seeing ghosts out there. I got to wake up. Like, I thought people really hijacked that, and I, you know. Now, it would fit the narrative of the Jets, of Darnold, of the game, of the rivalry, of the Belichick stuff.
Yeah.
I did not think that that was very fair. And by the way, the way he's played since, yeah. Not very accurate.
Understood. But at the time, he said, I was seeing ghosts out there, and he had a horrific game.
I know, but even as a Jets fan, like, listen, it bothered me that we got waxed again on national TV, but
the quarterback saying, I was seeing ghosts out there?
No, but I just never hung on. You're a little different, you and I don't hang on the words literally. That's like why, and we had this conversation with Boone, like when Boone didn't declare a new closer, he said, hey, we're going to, whatever phrase he used.
We're going to get creative,
right? And I said, hey, listen, I don't care what he said. I care who he pitches. And, you know, I don't care if he chastises Torres as much as does he eventually sit him. These are different things you and I discussed. Or is it Verdugo in the outfield or Dominguez? Who's playing?
Right.
Like, that's what I really react to. So, again, it was, dude, it fit the Jets narrative.
I get it. I know. It was just, and now Bell piling on yet again.
Yeah, he can go take, he can go scratch, man. I mean, listen, Dable keeps winning. Bill ain't getting hired by the Giants. And then Bill's going to have no job.
He might be the Cowboys coach.
Hey, Bill.
He might be the Cowboys coach before week five. Who knows?
How's your girlfriend that you're 96 years old than?
I knew that would get you. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's finish up on the phones. John is in Red Bank. What's up, Johnny?
Hi, before I get to my quick Yankee question, I just want to say this show is excellent. And the interviews you guys do, especially like Susan Wallman and Mercedes Moné, man, that's great radio. But anyway, my Yankee question is this. I am so excited about
the transition.
Yeah. Susan Wall. I thought it was going to be Susan and Howie.
That's what
Susan
I thought, too.
Mercedes. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm just so excited about the unselfish play at third base of Jazz Chisholm and the infectious excitement he brings. What do you guys think is my thing to look for and hope so that this isn't the same old Yankees?
There's a couple things that I'm looking for, John. And listen, Jazz's arrival has certainly changed a lot. He's a spark. He can run. Even the first game when he got there that Sunday night game up in Boston, remember he stole third base and he scored on a wild pitch. Like, you just see the injection and energy. Listen, the obvious is Judge and Soto. The thing that, like, I'm talking about this year, but also for the future, I'm very curious to see. Because I don't know if Dominguez is going to play a lot, so I'm not even going to say Dominguez. I'm very curious how Jazz and how Austin Wells perform. Those are two, to me, vital cogs, young pieces that are cheap and under control and very much in the middle of the order for the most part, with Jazz sometimes fluctuates on the back end. But Wells has been batting fourth pretty much for a couple of months now. I think those guys are massive keys.
I cannot wait to see this Yankees team in the postseason.
I'm pumped, man.
The storyline all year long, and it's been different guys, whether it's leadoff or cleanup or how they're performing with the rotation, with the lineup. There's been inconsistencies, but they're going to have the number one seed. They're going to clinch a division probably tonight. They're going to have a bye. I cannot wait to see. And maybe we can have some fun with this tomorrow. Let's say they do clinch tonight. We'll talk some Yankees and maybe go over their lineup. We did the Mets lineup, what it should be in the postseason. There's going to be different variations of the Yankee lineup, so we'll see what that should look like. I cannot wait to see them in the postseason to see how they perform with all the star studs, star studded lineup that they have, how they actually perform this year in the playoffs.
I'm going to let my guy here, fellow Mets fan, speak to you before we sign off here. But I will just say, hey, Mets fans, stage got a little bigger. They'll trip on it. They'll show out. They'll show those boys what the story is down there.
Everything they did to date is nice. It's fun. It means nothing without winning 2 out of 3. Beat the Braves in Atlanta for once. This time, it's personal for me, and it should be for them. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for Dove, his help along the way. Thanks to Hop as well. We're back with you tomorrow, 10 a.m., reacting to the Mets, maybe the Yankees as well, previewing the Giants. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.